chapter 6, beginning at the 7th verse. I'm going to read to you from the King James Version, the really regular King James Version. And you get there, if you're not yet, you'll find these words. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And Paul says, let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And we know that God's word is already blessed. I'd like to put a tag on this text into your hearing as you take your seats in the presence of the Lord. You will recall this day to your remembrance. I can't quit.
All right.
I can't quit. I think I can stand this evening and say, without fair debate, division, or even contradiction, that being a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who loves God, attends church, reads your Bible, that following Jesus has its good days and its bad days. I don't want to discourage anyone who is on the brink of joining church this evening, but I do want to be honest with you that following the Lord has some ups and some downs, some highs and a whole lot of lows. For certain, there are moments when the joy of Jesus and the grace of God overwhelms us and we feel like shouting hallelujah. But then there are those moments when we realize that the call, the commitment, the command of God on our life requires us to do some things, Dr. Odom, that's not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. Because when you read scripture, and if you don't edit out the verses you don't like, you will find that God commands us in Christ to do some things that are not easy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Pray for them that despitefully use you. That is not easy. Forgiving somebody 70 times 7. Come on, Jesus. That's a lot. Biting your tongue and only saying what glorifies God.
Yes, sir.
When you would much rather open your lips and give somebody detailed instruction on how to get where they need to go. That's not easy. That whole turning your cheek, pass around, if you get slapped thing, I've been walking with God 40 years. And I have not figured out what I yet. God calls us to do some things with others. Love them that hate you. Pray for them that use you. What you say. Be kind to them that manipulate you. God, I can do it if I only have to do it every now and again. I can do that, some of that, if I only have to do it once or twice a year. For a moment here and there. But the challenge is that God calls us to walk right with others continuously, every day, all the time.
Yes,
and if we can be honest, it is not easy to be righteous in this world every day.
Yes.
Can I argue my case?
Yeah.
Because we see righteousness as an investment in other people. So when I'm right by you, I just expect you to do right by me. If I speak to you and I don't like you, you should be a Christian enough to speak to me when you don't like me. There's a reciprocity here. If I stay out of your stuff, my expectation is that you're going to stay out of mine. If I forgive you and let your stuff go, then you should forgive me and let mine go. The trouble with that is all of us know what it is like to be righteous, to do the right thing, to take the high road, only for it not to be reciprocated. You are more holy than I am, so I'm going to testify on behalf of those of that have some BC in their Sister Brown, some BC still in us, before Christ and before church. I got some remnant of my sin in me. I'm saved, but I'm not delivered from everything. You feel me? So on behalf of us that know we are a work in progress, it is hard being a peacemaker with someone who likes to fight. It's hard taking a high road with someone that likes to gutter. It's hard being Christ-like with someone who is demonic. It's hard biting your tongue with someone who can't shut their mouth. It's hard being mature and someone who always wants to be childish. And if the truth be told, you can do the right thing for so long, hear me now, that you reach a place where you decide to quit being right. This is not working. They are not changing. I'm not being rewarded. Have you reached a place where you wanted to tell God, to heck with this God? You're just going to have to give me a pass today and forgive me. Because I'm going to let her know exactly what she deserves. Am I preaching somebody this evening? You're right on the brink. Oh, y'all can take y'all masks off now. Let's keep it real. You have made up in your mind tomorrow, you're going to snap, crackle, and pop on somebody because they just deserve to get told. Have you ever wanted to give up on being righteous? Have you ever just wanted to do things your own way? Have you ever gotten tired of trying to take the high road and it never leads where you think it should go? I know somebody has been there because one of them is here in the pulpit. This week I was ready to quit everything. Some individual I was dealing with was going to get told some stuff, Bridget. I would not have been representing God well or walking worthy of my calling. But in the midst of wanting to quit on doing the right thing, here come God whispering in my ear the one verse of scripture that always turns me. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here's this verse. This verse is more important than God works all things together for my good. More important than the Lord is my light and my salvation. More important than the Lord to wait upon him. I want you in moments, church, of frustration, when you're ready to give up on doing the right thing. I want you to hear the Apostle Paul in God's voice whispering in your ear, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Because what Paul is saying to each and every one of us, you have to get that quit out of your spirit. Am I talking to somebody? Yes. You need to get the quit out of your spirit. Yes. You cannot give up on righteousness so easy. Yes. You can't walk away from doing the right thing. Yes. You can't be so frustrated that you stop doing what God has called and commanded you to do. Yes. Living how God expects you to live. Loving how God expects you to love. Yes. Being kind, being patient, being nice, helping others. The Lord said, listen, don't you ever give up on doing the right thing. Here Paul presses it. Paul says the reason you can't give up on doing the right thing. Listen to me now. Watch this. Because the Holy Spirit will help you hold on.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Can I teach Pentecost? The power of the Holy Spirit is literally to help you be committed to doing righteousness. When being righteous is not easy. Watch what Paul says. Look at the language in the text. Paul says, first point, here it is. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. He speaks in the first person, plural, in this collective identity. He doesn't say, I won't grow weary. He does not say, you shouldn't grow weary. He says, let us not grow weary. Now, if I have not lost you, the question you should be asking, who is us? Who is us? Who is the us Paul is speaking about? The us are the Christians in Galatia to whom he is writing. And what Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, the First Baptist Church in Galatia, he says, listen, let us not give up on doing the right thing.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, why does Paul tell the church in Galatia, don't give up on doing the right thing? As a matter of fact, he pushes it, Pastor Brown, in verse 10.
Yeah.
And then he says, make sure you do right by everybody in church.
Yeah.
What you say? The very place you should not grow weary in doing right is with the body of Christ Jesus. Why does Paul press being righteous in the midst of some Christians? Well, you need to know what was going on in Galatia. Let Pastor go give you history here. When you read Galatians, you will find out when Paul left that city, another group of Christians came in contradicting Paul's teachings. It was a group of Christians called Judaizers. What are Judaizers? Judaizers were Christians who were first Jews. And they believed that Christianity was a sect, S-E-C-T, of Judaism. Therefore, they agreed or argued if a Gentile wanted to become a Christian, watch this, they first had to become a Jew.
Yes.
Which meant you had to abide by the Mosaic dietary laws.
Yes.
And the Mosaic dietary laws about circumcision. So when Paul left the Gentiles in Galatia who had confessed Christ, the Judaizers came in behind him and said, listen, y'all not Christians? Because y'all eating ribs. And you are not circumcised.
Amen.
So in order to be a Christian, you have to do what we tell you to do. And Paul realizes that the church in Galatia is splintering. They are fighting. They are fussing. Every time saints get together, something ugly jumps off. When the saints gather in church, some mean things are said. Division creeps up. Some facts and cliques break out. And people are now not loving each other. So Paul said, listen, don't you ever give up on doing right by other people in church. Paul says, I'm pressing you to do the right thing with other saints. Why does Paul push doing right with other church folk? Because Paul knew what you and I know. Church can get ugly sometimes. Church can be mean sometimes. Don't look at nobody. I'm just talking to y'all. I'm just talking. Don't look at nobody else. The longer you come to church, sooner or later, you're going to find out that church folk are not always Christ-like. Can I help you? I know some of you are planning to join today, but they're going to get you some good stuff to hear to come. I want to give you full disclosure. If you come to church long enough, you're going to find out that church people are people.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen.
Bible in hand, Baptist word, shouting, Amazing Grace singing, but they still are people.
Amen.
And if I know people like I know people, people can act pretty, people on you.
Amen.
At some moment, an usher is not going to smile. At some morning, you're going to say good morning and get nothing in return. Some morning, Pastor Brown will say, go touch your neighbor. And you're going to reach out to your neighbor. And they will say, you better not. Paul said, I need you all in Galatians to learn, never give up doing the right, even if church gets ugly. And church will get ugly, don't never give up doing the right thing. That's right. I know I had the right message because I was praying on this day. I had it, and then I text you, and you told me what the topic was. I said, "Well, I'm in there, God. Thank you, Jesus." I got to confirm to Sister Brown what you're doing, but it's some good stuff. Y'all ready? And how do I do that? Keep coming. He's arguing from chapter 5 and into chapter 6. He says, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. That the power of the Holy Spirit is to give you the strength to be committed to righteousness when righteousness is not easy. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not found in how many people can shout, how many people jump up in church, how many people fall out at the altar, how many people talk in tongues. That's not the sign of the Holy Spirit. There's a sign, my brothers and sisters, that lets you know that the Holy Spirit is when someone has left a bad taste in your mouth in church and you come back anyway. Can I prove you the Holy Spirit? Can I prove my point? The Holy Spirit is the strength that keeps you in the choir when they don't give you the solo. The Holy Spirit is what gives you the strength to serve when they didn't make you in charge of the committee. The Holy Spirit says, stay with it even when giving up being righteous is easier because God has called you here to do this work. Let's go a little deeper before I end this first part. Paul says, in order to press through, you got to learn to stay connected and committed to church. Some people bounce back and forth to church too much. We need to go back to my daddy's library around, make a member get a letter from the pastor. I don't know about old school. Well, you going to go to that church? Okay, go back to your pastor, give me a letter. So you give me a letter, all the hell you caused over there, we'll know before you get over here. I look young, but I know the way. You gotta learn to stay committed. You have to remember why you come to church. This is so deep. Church on Sunday, listen y'all, is meant to get you ready for Monday. Uh-oh. When you come to church, the Lord wants to fill you with what you need to make it through to Wednesday. When you come to church, the Lord already knows what Thursday is going to bring you. So the Lord brings you into church to try to get your soul ready, your mind ready, your heart ready for what you're going to experience during the week. So here's why you have to deal with church ugly. Because you can deal with a Christian not speaking to you on Sunday, and you can handle a crazy co-worker on your Monday. If you can stay and worship where you just don't feel welcome, then no demonic supervisor can push you outside the peace of God during the week. If you can deal with a nasty alto, then surely you can handle all the demons on your job. All the crazy folk in your house, all the neighbors that get on your nerves. You got to learn to push through.
Yes.
Say to yourself, Sunday's just getting me ready. Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, but do well to the people of faith, because the Holy Spirit will help you hold on. And you can get through Sunday, if you can get through Sunday, then you can make it through the Friday.
Oh, yeah.
First point, let us not grow weary. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. Here's the second point. Because in due season, we shall reap if we faint not.
Yes.
Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Amen.
Due season. That word, Sister Brown, due in the original Greek is the word idios. I-D-I-O-S. The word due is not really a good translation of the word idios. Idios is used in the New Testament, church, 113 times. 61 of those times, it is translated in a different way. 61 of those times, idios is translated own, O-W-N. It's translated O-W-N, own. So let's read the verse again. Let's read verse 9 again. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, because in our own season, in our own season, we shall reap and faint not. I've got a season where God will cause me to reap. I got a season where God will return everything I have put out and lost. I got a season that's mine, y'all. It may not be when I want it, but it's coming. There's a window when God knows it is time for me to reap. Paul argues this. The reason you ought to keep doing right is God will never let you do right and not reward you. Due season, my season. My season is on the way. Now here's where God and I get into a little bit of discussion. Because I get that there is due season. My season. What I want to know is, when is it coming? I believe the Lord will reward. I'm just trying to figure out when. What bothers me is that in the world, I know how to identify the season, Pastor Brown. When the leaves turn, it's fall. When the rains come, it's spring. When the cold wind blows, it's winter. When the sun is up early and it's hot, it's summer. I can identify those seasons. How do you identify due season, my own season? How do you know when the Lord is going to cause you to reap for your righteousness? How do I know when God is going to pay me for being nice to them? There is a marker, Shepherd's Care, to let you know when you're about to enter into due season. But you're not going to like it. Can I teach it? Let me tell you how you know you're about to walk into due season. I can share with you how Paul writes verse 9 in the Greek. In the English translation, you don't see it. Verse 9 reads like this. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we will reap if we faint not. But the word weary and faint come from the same root word. They are almost the same word. So here's a better way to read it. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap when we get weary. Wow. Let us not give up on doing right, because in due season we shall reap when we want to give up on doing what's right. How do you know when you're about to end the due season? Because you're getting tired of doing right. How do you know you're almost at the breakthrough? Because you are at the brink. The breakthrough is on the other side of the brink.
Yes.
But you can't get to the breakthrough until you get to the brink.
Yes.
Which means you got to push to the place,
yes,
where you feel you just can't do it no more.
Yes.
Or you can't be quitting, y'all. The Lord says when you are at the place where you feel like you just can't do it anymore, that's not where you quit.
Yes.
That's where you push one more again.
Yeah.
Because the breakthrough is on the other side of the brink. Okay. I know y'all not like it.
Yeah.
I knew some of you would not get it. When we go through difficult moments in our walk with God,
yeah,
we often pray and ask Him to help us.
Yeah.
It seems like we be praying and it don't seem like,
yeah,
He is helping.
Yeah, He's there.
It seems like there are times that you feel God is right with you, but it don't seem like He's doing nothing.
Yes.
You are struggling and you see the end in view. Nice. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Out of nowhere, you decide to give it one more push.
Yeah.
And you push through through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're on the other side of the situation and circumstance. You're thanking God, but in the middle of your praise, watch us now, you ask God, why didn't you help me like you said you would? God says, hey, what are you talking about? I'm not here just to help you every time you call. I am your creator. I know what you are capable of. I am also here to make you stronger. If I don't let you struggle sometimes, you'll never get stronger. Where do you think that push came from? God said, down in your belly. That was me stirring up the gift on the inside of you to reach beyond the break. Can I tell you about the God we serve? He's trying to make you strong. You got to push through and get through. God said, I'm making you strong by pushing you to the brink. And I don't want you to be trying to quit on me. Because every time you go to the brink goes further out. So what you couldn't handle then, you can easily handle now. Somebody here have been through so much that you're bringing so far, there's some stuff you should be able to handle right now.
Oh, yes.
That's just easy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen to this. Talking about me? I can handle that. Amen. Not liking me? I don't give a hoot any of your like me. The Lord has a way of making you strong by pushing you to the brink. Yes. Let's not grow weary in doing right and doing well. Because in due season, in our own time, we will reap if we faint not. God says the Holy Ghost will help you to hold on. God is making you stronger. Watch this last one. I'm getting y'all ready. I know y'all tired. And the scripture says, and you will reap. Help me somebody. Hear me, people of God. I say this without fear of contradiction. There's no way you can do right by God and not reap. Now the problem is that Paul uses a verse in verse 6 that's probably one of the most misinterpreted, Pastor Brown, verses in all the Bible. The saints know it. It goes like this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he shall reap. The saints know that verse. That's the verse you use when you want God to get somebody.
Yes, sir.
You know someone has done you wrong, but because you're Christian, you don't get them back, but you let them know. That's okay. God is not mocked. Everything you've done will be coming back to you. The problem with that is it establishes a form of Christian karma. That which you sow, you reap. Listen to my point. That is not what Paul is saying. We misinterpret that passage because it sounds good and we like it. I'm going to argue with you that whatever a man sows is not always what a man reaps. Hello. Here it is, number one. Because there are some stuff you have sowed that you have never reaped. Hello. This should be y'all should have said a merciful amen right there. I have sowed some dirt that God did not let me reap. I have sowed some ratchet that God did not let me reap. I have sowed some iniquity that God did not let me reap. Is there anybody here that knows God kept you from reaping everything you sowed? The mercy of God.
Oh, yeah.
Paul says, no, it's not about what you read. Let's keep reading the scripture. I'm in the book, y'all. Brother Craig, you might say, I'm in the book. Watch this. Watch the scripture. Let your works of righteousness be an investment in your spiritual life and not your fleshy life. The real gist is this. Why do you do what you do? Why are you so nice to them that hate you? Why would you pray for someone who uses you? Why would you help someone who can't help you back? Paul says you can do it one or two ways. Paul says you can do it because you expect them to reciprocate. No matter how much you love them, they will never love you back. No matter how much you pray for them, they will never pray for you. So I don't do it sowing into flesh. I do it sowing into the spirit. Which means my motivation of being righteous is not you. The reason I'm righteous is because I am in relationship with him. So even if you never are kind to me, never reciprocate, I do it because I'm in relationship with God. And when I sow into the spirit, I reap from the spirit. It's a matter of motivation. When I do the right thing, the right with God, I reap godly things. If I do it to be right with you, I will always be frustrated. What do we read from the spirit? Chapter 6 is preceded by chapter 5. In chapter 5, when Paul talks about the spirit, he lists the fruits of the spirit. That when you do right because you want to be right with God, you reap the things only God can give you. There's some things, people of God, people on your job, in your church, can never give you. Peace, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, steadfastness, long-suffering. These are things only God can give you. Peace is not a gift nobody else can give you. It is something that only comes from the Spirit of God. So Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing. He said, don't do it. Because the breakthrough right is right at the brink. Make certain you know you will reap, not from people, but from God. And God will give you what exactly you need. I think I kept y'all long enough. And y'all said, I thought he was going to make us shout. But I had to teach that thing. I got to do it the way God told me to do it. But let me give y'all this. I studied that thing. I said, God, I got to close and get up out of here. And if I don't do good by them, Lord, they ain't going to want me to come back and say that thing. So, Lord, how do I give it to something to make them get excited about? Because now I teach them and fill their minds with all kind of intellectual, spirituality stuff. I said, God, but he said, just make it simple. He said, let me tell you how I did with my disciples when I was on the Sermon on the Mount. Helping somebody. Pastor Brown, he said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. Oh, we're talking about being righteous now. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. I got to go with brother back. And he taught them, saying, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm loving that thing. That means that if my spirit is poor, because you're not treating me right, I don't have to worry about how you're doing me right down here. Mine is the kingdom of heaven. Yet blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Weeping may endure for a while. Coming in the morning. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I may look poor right now, but I'm rich in my goings in and my comings out. David a king, and God, David got to go back and wash the snake sheep. I say, are you you serious, God? You say I'm supposed to rise to the top, but it seems like I'm not going nowhere. I'm at the bar, say, be faithful on a few things, and I'll make you a ruler over many. Pastor Brown, lovely man, great man. I mean, he came into my life at a time when it was rough. Daddy just left, right? And now I'm here church preaching. But Daddy used to do something, y'all, when he was just sitting there back there behind me, Pastor Brown. When I'd be preaching, he'll come and put his hand on his shoulder. He'll say, my back, my son, you're preaching too hard. And I said, you're not preaching hard. But Daddy left. And I still had to preach. But you know what I felt closer to him? When I got up to preach. It felt like he was still putting his hand on my shoulder. And I said, what's that about, God? Is that going to be there like that forever? Here it is, y'all. He said, in heaven, there's a cloud of witnesses. You got the Marilyn Johnsons there. You got the Deacon Millers up there.
All of them up there.
You got Heather's up there. You got that right. Y'all ain't hearing me. You got to walk right while you down here. Because they looking on the boundaries of heaven. And what I want to be doing right so that every now and then they can call Jesus.
Jesus? Okay. Look at our boy down there.
He's going right by us down here. So God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If it's formed, it shall not prosper. He said, I work all things together for your good. He said, hold on, y'all. Hold on, St. Matthew. Hold on just a little while longer. May God bless and keep you. This is my prayer.